Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Happy Mother's Day. We're so thankful to have all the moms with us. I hope if your mom is there with you, you'll tell her how special she is, how beautiful she is. All moms are always beautiful. And tell her how much you love her. You know, I was thinking this week as I was preparing for this message, and I had this thought that there is no life without pain. You know, thinking about what our moms went through, there is no life without pain. If you don't believe that, ask your mom. I mean, seriously, ask your mom, was it painful to carry life for 9 months inside your body and then deliver life into the world? Don't ask for details, but just ask, was that painful? I would imagine what helps expecting mothers to deal with the pain and the pressure is focus on the promise of new life. You know, there's a lot of pain, a lot of pressure, but if you're focused on, hey, there's a new life coming. So there's no life without pain. I was thinking on that subject and thinking about moms. I was remembering back to when my youngest son, Gabriel, was born. And Pastor Carrie was having a C-section. She ended up having a C-section because at the last minute before she was going to deliver, Gabriel decided to flip over. So then they said, oh, we have to do an emergency C-section now. And if you have been there, if you're a husband, if you're a dad, and you've been at the hospital in these situations, you know you don't have very much that you can do. And for a guy, that is so difficult. I mean, you had a big part in getting her where she is at that moment, but to do something at the hospital, you're just looking for how can I help? What is my role? What is my assignment? Give me something to do so I can do it well, so that I can be the protector and the provider, and I can be the husband that takes care of the situation. And I remember my job was to take photos. I was given the camera. I was going to be the photographer. That was before the whole thing changed and it was going to a C-section. So then we go into the operating room, and I have the camera, and in my mind I'm thinking, I am the photographer. This is my job. This is my role as the husband. This is my role as the father. I've got this under control. I'm going to take photos. I'm going to handle this, and I'm going to take the best photos. I'm going to get the photos of this new life being born. You know, and I'll admit, I was a bit freaked out being in the operating room. I was in a chair beside Carrie's head, and then there was a sheet up from right below her chest. I couldn't see anything because of this sheet there, and I'm just sitting there, and they start the procedure. And when I first hear the cry of a baby, I held the camera up over the sheet and started snapping some shots. That was my job. That was my role. I'm not going to fail. This is my one job. I've got the photos in the camera. We leave the operating room. Gabriel has been born. There's all of this excitement, and we're going to the recovery room. And I go out to the waiting area where my older kids are. And I hand them the camera, and I say, hey, check out the photos. I've got photos of your baby brother being born. And then I went on to the recovery room. I had never, this in my defense, I had never looked at the photos in the camera. I had never seen the pictures that I took. I didn't know what was going on the other side of the sheet. I just knew I heard a baby cry, so I snapped pictures. That's my job. When they looked at the photos in there, and they saw their mom cut open and organs laying on the table, I believe, and lots of blood everywhere. And somewhere beyond that, if they could have looked beyond that, there was their little baby brother there. But they didn't look beyond it. I mean, it was traumatic. It was a painful experience. I have never been the family photographer since that time, 12 years ago, banned from the use of the camera. I had another story, same event, same birth, same hospital. This is after the C-section. We're in the recovery room. I have a new job. The nurse has come in. Carrie's resting. She was heavily medicated after the C-section. The nurse came in and explained the morphine drip. She showed me the button for the morphine. She said, when your wife wakes up and says she's in pain and asks for more medicine, you can push that button and she'll get some more medicine. Well, Carrie wasn't waking up. She was asleep. But I was thinking, wow, I've got this. This is my job. And this job wasn't given to me by my wife. This was given to me by hospital personnel, by the nurse. I'm practically a doctor now. I mean, with this official job, I am practically going to be delivering my son myself. I mean, I'm there. I'm part of the staff. I'm part of the operation. I'm in charge of stopping my wife's pain. I kept the button in my hand, and she wasn't awake, but I thought, you know what? I hate pain. If it were me and I woke up in pain, I would say, hey, what's wrong with you? Hit the button. So every time she moved, I hit the button. She started to wake up, I hit the button. She didn't wake up for a long time. The nurse came into the room. She's just checking on things, and she's like, wow, your wife hasn't woken up for a while. And I was like, hey, don't worry. I just keep pushing the button. She's like, stop. Do not push that button. You're killing her. So I was like, okay, new assignment. Do not push the button anymore. I lost my job. I was no longer hospital personnel. I messed up. I couldn't handle the camera. I couldn't handle the morphine drip button. But when I was thinking about this, what I realized in that moment was that the worst thing was not the pain. The worst thing in that moment would have been no life. I mean, think about in our life, when we think about our experiences, the worst thing is not pain. The worst thing in life is not experiencing pain. The worst thing in life is not experiencing life. Pain is a part of life, but life, real life, is worth the pain. We've looked at this verse recently, but I really felt like it was worthy of looking back at this week. The verse is John chapter 16, verse 33. And it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, it means to take courage. Be courageous. Hey, there's going to be trouble, but have courage. Be courageous, Jesus is saying. I have overcome the world. It means to take heart, be comforted. Hey, be comforted. It means cheer up. So we could say to ourselves, in the midst of seasons of pain and seasons of trouble and seasons of struggle, you may be in pain right now, but have courage. Jesus has overcome the world. You may be struggling right now, but be comforted. Jesus has overcome the world. You may be surrounded by trouble all around you. Everywhere you see, all you see is trouble. But cheer up. Jesus has overcome the world. Our key verse for this series, this is Ready for More. This is the next part of that series. And last week we did, the topic was Let Go and Hang On. This is Let Go and Hang On Part 2. Because I didn't feel like we could finish it last week. There's so much in these verses that I'm sharing today. There's so much life and so much power. I wanted to share one of the stories with you again this week. But before I do that, let me share the key verse for our series. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So think about this. God, his power at work within us. God's mighty power at work within us. And he is able to do infinitely more than we might ask or imagine. Jesus was doing more than we might ask or think. Jesus likes to go big. He doesn't like to do just what we're asking or just what our idea is. Jesus likes to go big. Remember the story we shared recently. We talked about Jesus calling Peter to be his disciple. when he went to call Peter to follow him. Peter was a fisherman. And he said, go out in the boat and throw the net over the side. And Peter was saying, we've tried that. There's no fish. And he said, throw it out. And the net filled up with so much fish that the nets were tearing. The boat was almost sunk. But he could have just put enough fish in there for the day. But Jesus likes to go big. It was filled with so much, they almost couldn't get into the shore. And in this situation, when we think of pain and we think of trouble and we think of struggling, honestly, as humans, we probably would have asked, Jesus, can you stop the pain? Jesus, can you end the troubles? But Jesus went big. He did far more, far greater, something far more important. He overcame the entire world. He's saying, hey, I will overcome the world so that you can just hang on to me. You can have peace in the pain. You can have strength in the trouble. Right in the midst of it. Right in the midst of it. And there's so much life in these verses, so much strength if we will let the words transform our minds and transform the way we think. I want to look at this story in Matthew chapter 16 again. We talked about it last week. Peter and Jesus were having this conversation. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 25. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised alive. Jesus was explaining that this was his journey. You know, and I've said many times, and we even talked about it last week, life is a journey. What we experience day to day, what you're experiencing right now, is not your final destination. It's just part of the journey. You may be experiencing trouble right now, but it's temporary. You may be in pain for a moment, but it's not going to last forever. This is just part of your journey. It's not your final destination. And Jesus was on a journey, and it would include suffering and pain and troubles. Peter took him to the side and began to rebuke him and said, never, Lord. You know, Jesus is saying, here's what I've got to do. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to raise to life on the third day. And Peter said, no, I will never let that happen. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Hey, Peter, stop trying to push the morphine button. You're killing me. There's a purpose. Hey, quit trying to just remove the pain because you're killing me. Peter, I have a purpose, and you are suggesting something that would kill my purpose. There is no life without pain. This is part of my journey. It's not my final destination. Quit trying to trip me up. Quit trying to stumble me on this path. Jesus was on a journey. Pain and suffering was part of his journey, a journey to glory, a journey to the fulfillment of purpose, a journey to fulfillment of prophecy even, a journey to destiny. Was it painful? Yes. Did it accomplish something? Definitely yes. Salvation available for us all, forgiveness of sins, removal of shame and guilt, overcoming the world. In verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. I mean, think about that for a moment. Pick up the cross, that's painful. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you will have to pick it up and you will have to carry it. I couldn't get this thought out of my mind these last 2 weeks as I prayed and prepared this message. I kept thinking about this thought, embrace the journey. Embrace the journey. There's some things we need to let go of. And then we need to embrace our journey. Embrace your journey. Embrace it. Pick it up. Take it. Hang on to it. Cling to it. Embrace the journey. Jesus was saying, I am embracing the journey. If you want to follow me, embrace the journey. Take up your cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. Let me say it like this. If you focus on killing the pain, you're going to miss life. If that's your focus, my focus in life is just stopping pain, stopping anything that's uncomfortable, stopping the troubles, stopping the struggles. But if you focus on life, you can get through the pain. If you focus on the purpose and the promise, you focus on the process in this journey that you're walking on. Look closely at what Jesus was asking us to pick up. The cross represented pain. I mean, the cross was an instrument of torture, an instrument of execution. The cross represented pain, but not to Jesus. I mean, yes, he was going to feel pain. Yes, he was going to suffer. He told us, but he didn't see the cross as just being an object of pain. Jesus saw the cross as a path to bring life to the world. New life. There's no life without pain. Jesus saw the cross as a path to bring life to the world. Jesus saw the cross as a prop. You know, a prop is something that you use for your purposes. Jesus saw the cross as a prop that he was going to use to fulfill his purpose, to fulfill his mission, to fulfill his destiny, to save the entire world. The cross was a prop that he was going to use. And in this life, whether you see the cross as a pain or a path to life and a prop to use for your purpose depends on your perspective. How do you see the world? How do you see life? How do you see pain? How do you face struggles? How do you view trouble in your life? It's all going to depend on your perspective. Is it pain or is it a path? Is it something that's holding you back, or is this a prop that you're going to use? Is there something being developed? Is there something being processed inside of you? Is there something that's going to be produced? When we change our perspective, you need to let go of a pain-focused life. So often we can just be focused on the pain. Man, let me tell you what's going on in my life that's wrong. Let me tell you about all the bad things. Let me tell you about my pain and my struggles and my troubles. But we need to let go of a pain-focused life, and we need to hang on to a promise-focused life. This whole series, we're traveling with the disciples from Easter to Pentecost. They were chasing after a promise. They were chasing after more. Jesus was saying, there is more coming. There is more coming. Don't focus on the pain. Focus on the promise. And these guys were focused. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. It says, for our present troubles are small and won't last forever. Man, that's good news. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Think about this. Our troubles, our struggles, our pain is temporary, but it is producing something that will last forever. It's producing for us a glory. Verse 18, it says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. We're not pain-focused. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, the promise. I'm not living a pain-focused life. I'm living a promise-focused life. I'm not just focusing on what I can see. My gaze is on the things that I may not see yet, but I know that I will see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it sort of echoes this same idea. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Think about that. Our suffering, we could say our pain, our troubles, our struggles, it produces something. If we change our focus, if we're not focused on the pain and the struggle and the trouble, but if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we fix our gaze on the things that we don't see yet, something is going to be produced. It says that the suffering produces perseverance. The perseverance produces character, and the character produces hope. This promise that if we fix our focus, the pain in life will produce something in us. You may be at home saying, Pastor Chris, I'm experiencing pain right now. If you will let go of that focus and hang on to Jesus, that pain is going to produce something. Pastor Chris, I only see troubles all around me. Hey, hang on to Jesus. Something's being developed. You're in a process. This isn't your final destination. And when you fix your focus, the pain will produce something. It's producing perseverance. It's producing character. It's producing hope. And what is being produced is worth the pain. What is being done in you, what that mighty power of God at work within us, what He is doing in you is worth the trouble. If you spend your life focused on the pain, you're going to miss your purpose. So we don't focus on the pain that we see now. We focus on the promise that we will see. Just a change in perspective. Peter actually tells us not to be surprised when we experience troubles in life. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, you are going to love these verses. This offers some hope. Listen to this. Friends, when life gets really difficult, how many of you sitting at home right now, you would say, hey, life is difficult now. I'm not thinking when life gets difficult. It is difficult. It has been difficult. It's been difficult for weeks. It's been difficult for years. Listen to what Peter is saying. When life gets really difficult, don't jump to conclusions that God is not on the job. Don't think, wow, my life is hard. God is not at work in me. Life is difficult. God must have abandoned me. I'm struggling. God must not be at work in me, like that verse was saying. No, don't jump to the conclusion that God is not at work. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. He suffered. In His journey, there was pain and suffering and trouble. And when we experience those same things, what Peter is saying, hey, be glad we are experiencing the same things our Savior experienced. We're experiencing the same things the one we followed experienced. He suffered, we're suffering. And something's being produced inside of us. It says this is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. Think about that statement for a moment. You may be in trouble right now, but glory is just around the corner. You may be experiencing pain. It may be difficult in your life, but if you would let go of a pain-focused life and hang on to a promise-focused life, glory is just around the corner. It's just around the corner. Don't give up. Don't quit. God is at work, and glory is just around the corner. Are you ready for more? Are you ready for more in your life? More is just around the corner. I shared some stories about childbirth earlier. I figured for Mother's Day, this relates, and just have some fun together. I wanted to just be able to laugh together. But I also had this verse in mind in Romans chapter 8. It also talks about the pain of childbirth. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, it says, "For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day that God will give us our full rights as adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us." In verse 24, it says, "We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it." Right? If you already have something, you're not hoping for it. You have it. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something, if we're looking forward, there's a promise coming. There's more coming. There's glory, and it's just around the corner. If we look forward to something we don't yet have, we wait patiently and confidently. If we have something, how can we hope for it? If we have something, how can hope grow? If we can see everything, how can our faith grow? So there's pain, just like as in childbirth, and just like childbirth, the pain produces life. For us as Christians, pain is a path to new life. Pain is a prop to be used for our purpose. Pain produces something more. I can tell you from my own personal testimony, the best things in my life have come through seasons of pain. My faith in Jesus came through a season of pain. A strong marriage with my wife came through a season of pain. Perseverance, it came through seasons of pain. I've learned that pain does not kill me. Pain builds me. Because Satan wants to use pain in your life to make you quit. But God will use pain in your life to make you who you are created to be. He will use that to make you into who you were created to be. I am who I am today because of seasons of pain. I am who I am today because of troubles in the past. I am who I am today because of struggles, because through that, by letting go and changing my perspective and changing my focus and hanging on to Jesus, He has been able to produce something inside of me. And He's doing the same exact thing in you. He's producing something. Just like in childbirth, pain produces life. Pain is part of the journey. Pain leads to a promise. Pain is proof that there is more, and I am ready for more. How many of you at home would say, Pastor Chris, I'm ready for more? Then look beyond what you see. Look beyond what you see right now. Look beyond the trouble that is seen now. Look to the promise that is still yet unseen. There is more. Let go of a pain-focused life. Embrace the journey. Embrace the pain. Embrace the trouble. Embrace the heartbreak. Embrace the love. Embrace the joy, the sorrow, the successes, the failures. Embrace it all, because it is all part of the journey. And it's not in vain. It's producing something. And hang on to Jesus. Hang on to Jesus. He loves you so much. He cares for you. He will not leave you. He has not abandoned you. He will lead you through this. The final thing is, get ready for more. Glory is just around the corner. Victory is coming soon. Can I take a moment to pray for you? Right where you are, let's just close our eyes for a moment. Father, we're so thankful for the encouragement of your word. Lord, I'm so thankful in this season, Lord, that you've put in my heart this desire to take our church on this journey from Easter to Pentecost, to go on this journey just like the disciples did, waiting for more, patiently waiting in the struggling, in the troubled times, in the pain, in all that they were facing. They had this promise that more is coming. Jesus had said, hey, it's better that I leave, because there is more coming. There is a promise. The promise of the Father is coming. And so, Lord, we go on this journey. And Lord, we change our focus today. Lord, I pray for everyone at home that's saying today, Father, I need to change my perspective. I have been focused on pain when I need to focus on the promise. Lord, help us to change our perspective. Help us to fix our focus on you, so that through this time, something can be produced, something can be developed, so this season of pain and trouble and struggles won't be wasted and won't be in vain. But in the end, we will see through all of that, through every single struggle, through every moment of pain, my God, the mighty God's power was at work within me. And He produced something that was far greater, infinitely more, than I could have ever asked or imagined. Father, I pray that for everyone sitting at home. Do more in their life. Bring more into their life. Lord, show them this promise that glory is just around the corner. Lord, help us to hang on. Help us to recognize that you are at work, even when we don't see it. Even when we can't see that you're working, we trust, Lord, that you are at work. Lord, I pray for everyone that's at home and they are in a struggle, Lord, that they would be comforted by your words today. Lord, I pray that this would be a call to us, Lord, to change our perspective and no longer complain and no longer be beat down by the struggles and the troubles and the pain. But Lord, we would make this decision today that we will embrace the journey. We will embrace the journey. Knowing that you are at work, we can embrace the journey. We take up our cross and we follow you. Lord, I pray your blessings over everyone who's joining us today. Bless them, bless their families, bless their children. Lord, I pray that you would send us out, Lord, to do your good works so that everyone will have their attention put on you. The God of love and joy and peace, the God who is at work within us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was so great to be in your home. Again, happy Mother's Day. If you haven't talked to your mom yet, send her a text or a phone call or an email, however you communicate. And you guys have a great Sunday. I love you guys. God bless you.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.